This is The Naked Scientists with me, Hannah Critchlow, and Ben Valsler.
This week has seen the first ever British Neuroscience Association Festival of Neuroscience at the Barbican in London. Hannah, we sent you along for the whole thing. What was it like?
Oh, Ben, it was brilliant, and it was also very, very busy. So there was a Wonder Street Fair that was bursting with fun neuroscience hands-on activities that over 5,000 members of the public came along to. So I was there measuring people's brain electrical activity so they could see how their brainwaves changed when they listened to music like Limp Bizkit, and they also imagined their favourite day, or they looked at their brainwaves when they were trying to calculate some difficult maths problems.
Well, I do hope that they were volunteers, especially if you were subjecting them to Limp Bizkit. But it wasn't just about the public exploring neuroscience, was it? There was actually a conference element. There was some real science presented there.
Absolutely. So thousands of neuroscientists came along to listen to hundreds of talks that were covering all areas of neuroscience, and scientists were there presenting their research hot from the labs. So one of the papers announced at the conference that I found particularly interesting was all about how free will is implemented in the brain. And Kate Lamble spoke to one of the authors, Professor Gabriel Kreiman from the Harvard Medical School, about the paper. So she started by asking how you nail down such a philosophical question in science.
It's extremely difficult, and we're only taking very, very preliminary steps. So the type of experiments that we have done follow on the steps of several other previous scientists who tried to reduce free will to very simple questions. Let's say I ask you to tap your finger. You can choose exactly when you do that. So whenever you feel the urge to do that, you can tap a given key. So we're asking a very simple question: what, when, how neurons get activated to dictate or determine that particular action.
How do you measure those neurons? Are you using a skull cap of electrodes, or are you using a more invasive procedure?
The traditional way to investigate this question has been through scalp electrodes. These are about 2 millimeter contacts that are put on the scalp. What we took advantage of is a rare opportunity to peek inside the brain, in particular cases of patients that have epilepsy and therefore need to be implanted with electrodes, very thin microwires, that can capture and listen to the activity of single neurons and very, very small ensembles of neurons.
So if you're measuring these neurons as they make the decision whether to click the mouse or not, what are you finding? Are people very conscious of when they make the decisions they want to?
Well, of course, eventually people are conscious about when they make that decision, and their subjective report is what we take as the ground truth about what they're conscious of or not. But what we're finding is that neurons in particular parts of the frontal lobe, more specifically an area called the supplementary motor area and the presupplementary motor area, get activated and are making those decisions for the subject way in advance, way before subjects become conscious of that decision. So several hundred milliseconds, and in some cases even seconds before people know that they are going to execute that action, the neurons are firing like crazy saying, now we're going to be orchestrating this action.
You're saying it's happening way before, but we're talking hundreds of milliseconds. How long is hundreds of milliseconds in neural terms?
This is sufficiently long that we can ascertain that neurons are making those decisions before people become aware of them. To some extent, all of our decisions, unless we believe in magic, have to be orchestrated by neurons. And the particular situation in which we could record and monitor the activity of some of these neurons helped us to tap into some of these populations and neurons that are making these decisions for the subject before subjects actually realize what they're doing.
So if our neurons are firing and making the decisions before we're conscious of them, how does that make implications for whether we have free will or not?
The simplest interpretation is that basic physical laws dictate when neurons get activated, when they cross a given threshold. That's what ultimately leads to a decision. And after the fact, we believe that we are the owners of that decision. We create this illusion of free will, but there's nothing really free in free will. These are neurons that are activated, and we can describe with equations what they're doing and when they're activated and so on.
What's the next step in research? How do we build up to working towards a more complicated action rather than just clicking a finger?
That's very difficult. So one step that may not sound extremely exciting is to actually ask subjects to choose which hand they want to use. So not just which finger or when, but they now have a little bit more freedom. Ultimately, we do not think that we can make predictions about what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow or who you're going to marry 5 years from now. So we're making very simple decisions over very, very small scales with our capability in terms of recordings. So to some extent, I like to come back to the discussion of determinism as well as chaotic systems. We cannot really predict very well when we flip a coin whether it's going to land on head or tails, but no one would claim that the coin actually wanted to land one way or the other. It's just a problem that's very sensitive to the initial decisions. So similarly, we don't envision anytime soon being able to make predictions on scales of hours or days that are accurate in any way. But that may simply be a problem with technology, how many neurons we can tap into, external forces. Ultimately, what you're going to do 5 hours from now may very well depend on a lot of external factors, not just your own brain. But the main point we are trying to make here is that our illusion of free will may be nothing more and nothing less than ensembles of neurons and circuits firing together in specific patterns.
It's quite intimidating as a person who thinks that they go around deciding what they do every day. How much does the fact that you're having to work on epilepsy patients and where you put the electrodes are based on clinical opinion, how much does that limit the next steps of the research that you can do?
We're very limited in many ways. We're limited in which locations we can investigate. We're limited in terms of how many neurons we can record from. On the other hand, this is one of the only ways in which we can investigate the human brain at this level of resolution.
Does it have any implications in treatment? If we can understand how people make decisions and at what point that they make decisions, can we intervene at any point?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question, and we're only taking very preliminary steps in that direction. There's a couple of neurological conditions that involve severe disorders in volition. Parkinson is a case where people have a lot of difficulty initiating movement. There are many problems in addiction research where, again, these are basic decisions that people need to make. So there has been a handful of studies, one by the neurosurgeon that I worked with, Itzhak Fried, where they stimulated electrically this particular area, the presupplementary motor area. That is, they injected current into the brain, again, for clinical reasons in these patients. And people reported that they felt the urge to make a movement. So in principle, one can bias the activity of neurons and enhance people's abilities or people's intentions to make specific decisions.
Professor Gabriel Kreiman from the Harvard Medical School, he was talking to Naked Scientist's Kate Lamble. But would you be happy to give your free will to a bunch of neurons, or do you count your subconscious as simply an extension of who you are? Let us know. We'd like to hear your opinion. Email studio@thenakedscientists.com, tweet @nakedscientists, or find us on Facebook.